Now, reading this morning is slightly different to what it says in the intimations. So it's from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. And you will find this on page 847 of the Pew Bibles. This is God's word for us. Mark, chapter 11, page 847, beginning at verse 15. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "It is not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. Amen. Thanks be to God.
So let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There we go. Next week, we've heard already, is our harvest service. There's a lot happening next week. We've got Joseph and we've got Jagoria lunch as well. Often at harvest time, over the past years, we've been encouraged to think together about those who are hungry and most poor in the world. The staggering statistic that 2.5 billion people don't have access to clean water. That most of Africa, south of the Sahara Desert, has been devastated in the past 20 years by the effects of HIV and AIDS. Many are starving because unseasonal rains have come and swept away their crops. If you have any doubts or suspicions about climate change, go and talk to an African farmer, and your doubts might wither away, as unfortunately their crops have. Often, we feel overwhelmed. What can we do in the face of such situations in the world? We can feel the same way when we think about God's mission. The mission of God is that all the nations of the earth should receive his blessing. Not just one nation, not just one people, but all peoples and every nation receive the blessing of God. To achieve his mission, God would grow kindness, goodness, patience in our lives. The mission of God is that all people everywhere would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, the only name given by which anyone may be saved. To achieve this, God would grow our lives as disciples of Jesus into lives which make Jesus known through our Christ-like actions and through our faith story which we share when we speak with others about Jesus. All the nations of the earth? Even in our own land, statistics suggest that 97% of the population of Scotland don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Don't you feel overwhelmed by that? What can we do? There's a popular saying, which is in fact a lie inspired by the devil. And it's time to name things as lies every now and then. The saying goes, "You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly use." Maybe you've heard that one. The next time you hear it, remember it's not true. The truth is exactly the opposite. Only those who are heavenly minded are of any earthly use. We are most heavenly minded when we pray. When we pray, we consciously enter into the presence of God. We deliberately and willfully set ourselves where God is, that we might speak with Him and He might listen to us. Prayer is not doing nothing. Prayer is not talking to the wall. Prayer is world-shaking, enemy-defeating, tearing down prison walls and setting captives free. Prayer is the gift of God to the people of God. Prayer is the weapon of the Spirit given us that we might advance the kingdom of God in our praying. This is how God would have a share in His mission. When we feel overwhelmed, this is what we can do. We can pray. As we pray, we share in the mission of God for the glory of God. Let's begin with our reading this morning, the well-known story of Jesus cleansing the temple. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Now, in passing, here's a wee lesson in being careful in reading the Bible. I had picked the reading from Matthew, which is exactly the same story, but hadn't noticed that in Matthew, Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. In Luke, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But in Mark, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Now, in case you're wondering that the gospel writers are confused or Jesus was confused, the verse is Isaiah 56, 7. And in the first half of the verse, it says a house of prayer. And in the second half, it says a house of prayer for all nations. So the verse from Isaiah says both, and the gospel writers have it differently, and that's why we changed to Mark, because the bit I especially wanted to get to was the all nations bit. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. There are two ways to understand that quotation. It can mean, and it does mean, that the house of the Lord is a place where all the nations of the earth are welcome, where all the peoples, all the tribes, every tongue, every person is invited in that they might pray that God might be their God. The house of the Lord is an open place, a welcoming place, a place for all to come together and pray. But it can also mean, and I think this is quite interesting, that the house of the Lord is a place where prayer is made on behalf of, for the blessing of, for the benefit of all nations. Jewish communities all over the world have taken this verse from Isaiah, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, and they have put that verse above the entrance door into their synagogues when they rebuilt the synagogue in Berlin. This is the phrase they put above the lintel. This house is a house from which prayer will be offered for all the nations of the earth. I'm deeply challenged by the thought of the Jewish community in Berlin putting that above the door in the face of a nation which tried to wipe them completely out. The house of the Lord, a place from which prayer can be made for all the nations of the earth, a place from which prayer can be offered that the nations of the earth would be blessed. I wonder if you remember the prophet Ezekiel and then the prophet John. Both saw visions of the temple. And in both of their visions, from the temple, there flowed a river of life-giving water flowing out from the temple to the nations of the earth. a river of prayer flowing out from the house of the Lord, that the Lord might bless all the nations of the earth. We share in the mission of God when we pray for the blessing of God upon all the nations of the earth. It was great today that Ian shared with us about Chagoria Hospital. And Ian's exactly right. They need more than prayer. The very first campaign that the Relief and Development Agency Tear Fund ever ran had the poster, "They can't eat prayer." And that's exactly right. They can't eat prayer. Prayer on its own is only going to do so much. But while Ian was able to go and visit Chagoria Hospital, and no doubt was a great encouragement to the folks he met there, all of us can't go to Chagoria Hospital. We're not able to do that. All of us can't go to Syria and help rebuild a house that's been destroyed in a war. We can't go to Peru and help build sewers to take away the mess that people are having to live over. We can't go to these countries. Does that mean we can do nothing? We can always pray. We can always pray. And prayer is not doing nothing. Prayer strengthens those who go. Prayer liberates acts of generosity and kindness that we would give to other nations to provide for them what they need. Prayer is that energy that works inside all who love and care for others in other nations of the world. And we can pray for that. And we can be part of God's mission in our prayers. Here's a thought. If each one of us here took upon our heart a different nation of the earth, perhaps somewhere we've been on holiday, perhaps somewhere we've had some family connection with, perhaps somewhere we've read about and we just feel connected to, and if each one of us prayed for a different nation of the earth, why, that's 100 different nations of the earth getting prayed for from this house of the Lord. A river of prayer flowing out the doors that the nations of the earth might be blessed from here, from our prayers. What a great thing to share in the mission of God. We are the house of God. We are the living stones. We are the people called to pray for the nations of the earth, for the blessing of God upon them. Here's another verse from Paul's first letter to Timothy. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people." In short, prayers. "For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Paul urges that prayer be made for all in government. Notice the reason why Paul urges this prayer. "So that we may all live a peaceful and quiet life." Pray for governments so that they will be blessed in their service as political leaders, but also that all the citizens under whom they live may also be blessed in their communities, in their work, in their homes. We share in the mission of God for his blessing to come when we pray for good government. Now, in our context, I need quickly to say, the Bible is not urging us to pray for party politics. Not asking us to pray for one party over another party. It's asking us to pray for those who are in positions where their decisions affect our lives and the lives of our neighbors and our communities. To pray for all who serve in government. King Solomon, you might remember, prayed for wisdom for himself. He was becoming king, following on from his father David. And when he was becoming king, he prayed, Lord, I need wisdom to lead and govern these people. And God answered his prayer. I hope this doesn't sound a facetious question, but do you think our leaders in our government need wisdom? Do you think the leaders of the governments of the earth need God's wisdom to be at work in them, to guide them wisely how to govern and what decisions to make? Well, we've got two choices. We can complain about them. We can go on Facebook and say rude things about them, or we can pray that God would make them wise in the decisions they make, in the way they govern the nations of the earth. Wouldn't that be a good thing to pray for? Don't you think there would be a blessing from God if all across the world governments were made wise with God's wisdom to do what is good and best for each different community? That we might all live peaceful and quiet lives. That we might have security in our homes, stability in the economy, that there might be work to do for those who need work. There might be food in the shops. It isn't wrong to desire these things, but we desire them not only for ourselves, but for all in our community, and indeed for every community all over the world. A government is a key holder here. And we're never going to get to meet the President of the United States or of China or of North Korea or Russia. But as we enter the presence of God, as we cry to Him, He can influence them in their offices. He can make them wise in His ways. We can go where we could never go as we pray, because God's Spirit can go there. And through our prayers, bring a blessing to communities all over the world. When we pray for good government, we serve the cause of justice. We care for others. We share the blessings of God with those who benefit from good government. One final verse from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." You may be thinking, I heard that recently. Yeah, we just sung it. "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." You want to engage in the mission of God? You pray that Jesus would send out laborers to gather in his harvest. Pray earnestly. Pray passionately. Pray repeatedly. Pray and don't give up. The Lord has a great harvest in Craig Lockhart, in Edinburgh, in Scotland, in the UK, in the world. Many who need to hear of Jesus and come to follow him. Men and women are lost and dying without Jesus. The heart of God is breaking because men and women are not hearing the gospel and are not being challenged and called to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord and know him. And the plan of Jesus, those who do know him should pray. Those who have received the good news of the gospel should recognize that we received it because someone else prayed. Someone before us prayed that the Lord would send workers into the harvest field, and we were gathered in. Should we not, in our turn, pray that the Lord would send workers into the harvest field so that others might be gathered in? The blessings of the gospel are not only for us, but for all people. And Jesus says, pray then. Pray earnestly. Join in the mission of God. Lord, send workers to gather in many. Pray for the salvation of others. The blessings we have received through the gospel, that we now have faith in Jesus, are a work of God's grace, a gift of his love. Does he not love others? Of course he does. Pray that they too would be saved, that they too would come to know Jesus and his love. Be bold in your praying. Pray that you and I might be the answer to this prayer. Who are the workers that Jesus is going to send into his harvest field? Those who already know him. Those who are his disciples. Those who have received his grace and salvation. Those who are already following him. They're the ones he's going to send to go. Well, that's us. Let's pray boldly. Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me that I might go to the harvest field, that I might share in the joy of seeing others coming to faith in Jesus and growing and knowing him. Pray for the mission of God. Pray for the nations of the earth. Pray for good government in the world. Pray for the lost. Pray for those who need to know Jesus. As we've seen over these weeks, there are many things we can do to share in the mission of God. Prayer is not the only thing, but prayer is essential. We can all pray. So let's pray ourselves into sharing in God's mission. Let's pray together. Father, we are humbled by your love for us in the gospel, and we remember that we were those fields who have been harvested and gathered in. We thank you for those we don't know who prayed for us, for those we do know who went out to reap the harvest. Teach us to pray for your mission in your world, to pray widely and deeply and passionately, to pray for the nations of the earth, for good government in the world, to pray for our neighbors and our friends and our family, that they would come to know Jesus. Lord, set us on fire for this prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.